Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
What does ADHD look like in adults?
If I'm drawn to you, you probably have ADHD.
Oh, I like this person. Normally, I think they have a disorder. Yeah.
Your brain is full of like sparkles and glitter, which is amazing, but you are a huge slob.
I think what she was trying to say is that I deserve a medal for tying my shoes. You were on such a roll there. Like, you were being very selfless, and now here we are.
No, you were like a preschooler with a reward chart.
I forget to eat lunch all the time.
He's like, oh, I have ADHD. Sorry, I can't do that. I have anxiety, and like, I know order makes me feel better. So like, why does his ADHD get to win?
It's the worst name for something ever. I can't tell you how much I relate to that.
Yeah, tell me.
No, well, I just said I can't tell you.
Hey guys, Happy New Year. We don't say that anymore. We're done with Happy New Year, right? We don't say that. It's January, though.
I don't think there's ever a reason not to say happy anything. Like, let's be positive. Also, we haven't been around for a bit. We took a break over the holidays. So Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. What else did we miss?
Is there anything that's happened in 2021?
There's some things that have happened that we are, we're going to steer clear of the specifics, but it has led to some anxiety and some craziness in everyone's lives.
Yeah. Not that we're trying to shy away from anything, but just it's not relevant here today and you've heard enough of it. But hey, this is the Holderness Family Podcast.
Yes.
I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Penn Holderness. We, just a little bit of inside information, we record this on a Friday when we were done with all of our other crap that stresses us out. And it's like a time to just relax and be together, the two of us, and learn a little bit more about each other. And sometimes even get some tips on how to continue that happiness.
Yeah.
And so
it is our favorite thing.
Yeah.
Our book is out March 30th. It's called Everybody Fights, So Why Not Get Better At It? It's a big deal. We just recorded the audiobook in December, at the end of December, thank goodness. And we have some virtual events coming up. So
you can go
to everybodyfightsbook.com to pre-order. And if you pre-order, so here's a little inside baseball. If you pre-order the book, it goes into the whole, and then the launch day, all of those count as sales on that day. So then it pushes you up whatever like these magical book lists are.
Which is why we're telling you about it in early January.
Right. And then when you're on these like book lists of like top whatever, then more people buy it because more people see it.
And more stores buy it too.
And more stores buy it. So we are learning so much from our publisher because they're having to sell it like Costco. It's going to be in Costco, which is so cool. So, but we need to figure out. Yeah,
Kim's asking you to pre-order.
I know, and I hate asking people to do stuff.
You got started. Just pre-order the book. It'll be awesome. You don't have to think about
really
it.
I'd be really grateful.
It's going to be, if you're listening to this podcast and you've listened to more than one of them without cringing, I guarantee you're going to like it because guess what? This podcast was the reason that we wrote the book.
Yeah.
Except it's way more organized. It's structured. It has actionable items. It's
it
not just
took us.
Took us
2 years.
Yeah. It took us, well, I think it took us more than 2 years. It took us with the marketing and everything else, probably 3 years.
Yeah.
But every time I read it, even though I wrote it, I'm learning stuff. And I'm practicing it more. It's about like there are all these kind of magic words and tricks that you can have in your relationship. It could be a marriage. It could be a partnership. It could be a work relationship. There are these ways of communicating that will just make it easier
to be married,
to avoid fights. Or once you get into a fight, how to do it correctly. Because here's a newsflash. When you fight, you can grow closer if you fight the right way.
Fighting is a love language, man.
Yeah.
Well, that actually brings us to this amazing interview that we have for you today. She's Dr. Marcy Caldwell. She's a psychologist, writer, speaker, mother, and general lover of all things ADHD. You heard that correct. She is fascinated with the ADHD brain. She's a complete believer in the beauty that comes with an ADHD brain, and she helps adults and couples with ADHD navigate life better.
And like Kim, her husband has ADHD and she does not. So we're going to be talking to a mirror, except the mirror is going to be smarter than us.
Yes. But she gave us, let me tell you, I was staring at Penn a few times when she was talking and it was like a light bulb went off for him. Just the, she kind of languaged a lot of the things that he has done his whole life, how his brain has operated his whole life, but he didn't have the language around it. And she has, it was good. It was eye opening and it's definitely, it's going to help.
Yeah. And I'm going to read a quick disclaimer. We do this with therapists, doctors. So the information shared here should not be taken as medical or psychological advice or diagnosis and is for informational purposes only. Because each person and situation is unique, please consult your mental health care professional for any diagnostic or treatment questions. Here's another disclaimer. This is kind of awesome. She is recording this in a closet and there are three preschool children in her house. I don't know what she's got them doing now.
I think there's somebody else in there helping her.
I don't know.
Like, she's one of us, guys.
She's going through the same thing. It's not she's not on Air Force One right now. She's in her closet.
That would be super weird.
That's true.
Thank you for joining us, Dr. Marcy Caldwell.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
So you and I have something in common. We are both married to people who have ADHD. So I salute you. let me get this straight. You do not have ADHD?
I do not have ADHD.
Okay. So let's talk about do you find that ADHD people are, in terms of just like seeking partnerships, I think there's always one. Are there often two, or is there usually just one in the relationship?
There are often just one, but we do sometimes have couples where both have it.
Okay.
Is it like the thing?
And that's a whole unique category in of itself.
Yeah, I was going to ask, like, this happens with introverts and extroverts a lot of times.
Right.
Like, you balance each other out. And so if you have two extroverts, sometimes the bigger extrovert turns the other person into an introvert. Is it like that with ADHD? Like the one who deals the best has to become the
alpha
responsible
ADHD.
One? Less
exactly.
ADHD? I don't know.
Yeah, often one person ends up making up for the other in various ways. And so when there are two ADHDers, there sometimes is one ADHDer who tends to be more perfectionistic, more into the details, and the other one is less.
We should also back up and say, can you define, I know we have this kind of stereotype of what ADHD looks like in kids. What does ADHD look like in adults?
Yeah, so you're right. We really think about ADHD in terms of particularly 7-year-old boys, right? Jumping, bouncing off the walls. In adults, we tend to see less of that hyperactivity, though we will still see lots of energy, but it tends to come out more in more socially appropriate ways, right? So they might be more into sports and activities. They might just be enthusiastic, but most of the time, most adults are able to kind of sit when they have to. They might not enjoy it, but they're able to. What we see in adults more often is a lot of disorganization, a lot of issues with procrastination.
Why are you laughing?
Sorry. Okay, keep going.
Issues with procrastination, issues with initiation. So starting tasks can be really, really hard when you have ADHD, and difficulty with planning and prioritizing, kind of figuring out, you know, I have 5,000 things to do. I have no idea what to do first. And so I just kind of do the most appealing one. right? Mm-hmm. So the same core neurobiological aspects are present whether you have a child with ADHD or an adult with ADHD. It's just that people tend to learn more skills and they tend to be able to kind of mediate some of the hyperactive components if they had it to begin with.
If you were at a poker table with nine other people, you're spending time looking for their tells, right? Like there's something that you can tell, like this person, like they get really quiet when they get a good hand. By the way, that's my tell. If you ever play poker with me, are there tells for like when you meet someone at a cocktail party or if they come into your office, are there tells for ADHD?
There definitely can be. At least I feel like there are. And honestly, one of them is that if I'm drawn to you, you probably have ADHD.
Oh.
Right? Because there's an energy that comes, and not everybody with ADHD, but a lot of people with ADHD have an energy, a kind of enthusiasm and a spirit that I personally find really appealing. So that's, for me, my initial draw or initial tell is like, oh, you know, I kind of particularly enjoyed being around that person.
I like this person. Normally, I think they have a disorder.
Yeah. Hence, I married one.
Sorry, by the way, the hill that I'm going to die on, and I've said this before in many of my videos, and I'm going to say it again right here. It's the worst name for something ever. ADHD is a terrible name. It's like, because it can be for me, it's been a strength, but I don't like the name.
Well, just the deficit.
Yeah, it's just all bad. It's disorder, deficit, hyperactivity. Settle down.
Yeah, your brain is like full of like sparkles and glitter, which is amazing, but you are a huge slob. Love you.
Hang on, we're talking about the name. Let's stay.
No, I agree. I think that my best friends are ADHD just because of that kind of sparkly energy.
Yeah.
Obviously,
yeah.
I married one, but it is not all sunshine and glitter and sparkles. What are some of the challenges you see in a partnership with somebody with ADHD?
Yeah, so the disorganization is a big one. So if we're just talking about in terms of couples, you know, I think one of the big differences is that you have two people who are going about in the world and processing the world with different brains, right? An ADHD brain, Penn, I think I agree with you. The name is horrible because it's not necessarily always about attention or activity, and it's certainly not always about deficit. It's more about regulation of executive functions. So if I ruled the world and could rename it, I would rename it an executive functioning regulation difference.
Dude,
because
executive functioning ERFD. I'm just trying to figure out what we would call it. ERFD? ERFD.
ERFD.
I got ERFD. Yeah,
the acronym needs some work.
But I love the sentiment.
Yeah,
because I think that what happens is that I often will refer to an ADHD brain. If you imagine kind of a sound studio, you know, that has one of those sound boards with all the dimmer switches, that would be a neurotypical brain, lots and lots of dimmer switches. An ADHD brain would have that same sound board, but rather than dimmer switches, it would have on-off switches.
Oh, wow.
Because it can go all in and it can go all out really easily.
Mm-hmm.
It has a really hard time doing that middle ground. So if you imagine trying to get a on-off, you know, light switch to balance in the middle there, it's really tricky, right? Like it wants to fall one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And ADHD brains do the same thing.
I can't tell you how much I relate to that.
Yeah, tell me. Like, give me an example.
No, I just said I can't tell you.
Oh.
Oh, you know what I will tell you? You wake up in the morning and you see something and you want to give everything you've got to that thing, right? And then you forget to put on, you know, the
pants
or socks or whatever. And there's just something else in your life that you forget.
Mm-hmm.
This is crazy, Marcy. I forget to eat lunch all the time because I get into my job and I find something that I've got to do. And once I'm doing my job, especially if you do something in editing, you have to put your entire brain into it and everything else just kind of closes out. By the way, that can be an advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, everybody knows that. Like I'm a good editor because I get dialed into it.
Yeah.
But then the rest of the world could be falling apart and then my shoes are everywhere. I can see two pairs right now from where I'm sitting. And, you know, all of these other things fall to the wayside, but it really is that on-off switch. And I've never heard it described that way. And I think it's brilliant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know that. And that's a really, that helps me know that. And I think I've learned to navigate, just like he's learned to navigate my anxiety and depression. Like we've learned to kind of walk that walk. But mm-hmm. what are some tips, tools, like what are some of the things that, you know, can help a couple, help a relationship with one person with ADHD?
Yeah. So I think having that basic understanding that we're coming at this with different brains, I think is the very first step in a couple, right? Because understanding, because it's really easy to take it personally. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do this all the time. This is my job and I still do this, right? So like my husband has a habit of leaving socks on the counter for some reason.
He leaves shoes on the counter anyway. Like, yeah. How does that happen?
I don't understand why they're at that level at all. And I would ask him to stop leaving socks all over the kitchen and it wouldn't happen, right? There was a choice point there where I could either take it personally and decide, okay, he's doing this to make my life more difficult. Here I am cleaning the kitchen and now I have to clean his socks off too. And I told him not to, you know, and go down that path. Or I can choose to see this as, oh, this is a difference between the two of us. There's something about the way his brain's working that's making him leave these socks all over the place. When you come at it from that perspective, it's much easier to team up on the problem and to lower the defensiveness, right? Like if I come at him and I'm like, why didn't you do this? I told you, you know, why don't you care about me? He's going to get defensive and it's certainly not going to solve the sock issue. But if I come at him and I'm like, hey, curious, why is it that the socks end up on the counter to begin with? I wonder if there's another way we could do this.
Ooh, or that's dangerous.
Is there some kind of cue that could work to make this not happen and kind of explore what the actual issue is? Then we can team up together against the actual issue.
Okay. Thank you for continuing. I thought you were going to say, well, now I know how his brain works. He's incapable of doing it. So now I just do it. And I was going to jump out of my skin. But no, you continued that. So thank you. Because here's my thing. So our, among other things, I love my husband. But among other things, he doesn't tuck the dining room chairs. He like puts on his shoes in the morning. He's a big man.
I've got a very good reason for that.
Okay.
I've got a bad back.
He's got, of course.
I got to sit down.
He has to sit down. Yeah. And he pulls out a chair we don't have a dining room, but like a kitchen table. Mm-hmm. And he pulls the chair out very wide and so it's in the middle of the room, basically. And he puts on his shoes. Get it. But he stands up and he doesn't tuck it under. So I'm walking. So I'm like, I spend half my day just tucking chairs
under. You do not spend half your day tucking in chairs. You spend 8 seconds tucking in your chairs.
Well,
I love you.
But so my brain, so my anxious brain deals better with order. Mm-hmm. So why does he, because he's like, oh, I have ADHD. Sorry, I can't do that. But I have been diagnosed with anxiety and like I know order makes me feel better. So like why does his like ADHD get to win is my, so like that is, we had literally, I sent passive aggressive text this week of the chair out. I'm like, you're kidding me. He's like, what's the problem? I'm like, it helps me. It takes you 2 seconds, but it helps me if you just tuck the chair in. He did. Mm-hmm. And then 2 seconds later, there was another chair out. And I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? So that's the battle. So solve our problem. Thank you.
So, Penn, I'm going to guess that what happens for you is you tie your shoe and then your brain has moved on to the next thing and you are chasing that next thing. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay.
I have nothing further. Yes.
Yes. So we're just trying to fully understand before we find the solution. So I'm not suggesting that we're just going to make it okay. But when you have ADHD, you're constantly directed towards something or 5 million things, but it's rarely the thing that has just finished.
Okay.
Right. The ADHD brain moves on normally actually when something is about 60 to 80% finished.
Yes.
The ADHD brain is done with it.
It sure does.
So the fact that Penna even completes finishing his tying his shoes is probably more a matter of it just being a habit. But his brain has probably moved on halfway through tying his shoes and is already completing the next thing. And so pushing the chair in is not part of that whole equation.
It sure isn't.
And so, you know, I think there are a couple ways that you can go about it. One is really working to build that habit in. So with ADHD, when you're trying to kind of add something in, you want to add any new habit on top of an already established one. So you need to kind of develop a cue for that. And so when you're tying your shoes, if you want to have a little like note on the shoes that says tuck chair in,
sorry,
right?
I'm
that'll
laughing.
Cue your brain. And it's tied with tying your shoes. That would be one strategy is okay. kind of trying to create the habit. Another would be that there are set times in the day where Penn goes around and tucks all the chairs in.
I think that's more likely. Just like, I don't know why, but the notes make it.
Oh, I'll make you some notes.
Hang on. Your notes are not with love. Your notes are passive aggressive and you know it. It's like your weapon. But notes for me are also, it's just like, it says something on the note, but it says something different to my head. Like
so
the
maybe
note,
there's an
the
alarm.
Note says, please tuck in the chair. And what it's saying to my brain is, are you that beeping stupid that you can't tuck in the chair that you need a note? Right. Yeah. So that's just me. Yeah. And that's ego. Right.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's the right way to look.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I think what she was trying to say is that I deserve a medal for tying my shoes.
But it helps me understand though, because, you know, last week we were doing some yard work. There were some really heavy pots I needed him to help me pick up. And he was great and he helped me, complained about the entire time because he hates yard work. And then he's like, was like, okay, I'm done now. And he left out the shovels and the wheelbarrow. And I'm like, okay, we're not actually done with the task because we have to now put the way the things like the mm-hmm. with to put them away. So like he does help around the house, but does not put away the things like the ladders, the thing. And I think that's because he's already moved on.
Here's what's happening here. Marcy's doing a great job explaining.
Caldwell. Okay.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Dr. Caldwell is doing a great job explaining why these things are happening.
Yeah.
And you are turning that into like she's going to have to turn into a marriage counselor.
No,
really her job.
No, but
even though she has some like empirical evidence and experience.
This is helping me though, understand why you don't do those things.
I got it. But then it ends, the end of every sentence is, and he never does this. And so that's, then we get into kind of the therapy part. So, but I'm enjoying learning about how and why.
Yes, me
too. That part's interesting to me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it makes a lot of sense now. Okay. I know that, you know, there's these stress points and conflicts in every relationship. And then you add some sort of mental health issue, whether it's anxiety, depression, ADHD, and then you add on a pandemic and quarantining and COVID and mm-hmm. childcare and jobs and stress. So are you finding that the couples you see or the people you work with, I mean, is it heightened now more than ever or is it just our house?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
No, it's definitely.
She, oh my God. Can we just, I'm sorry. I'm going to paint a picture because we're zooming with Dr. Caldwell right now. She sank a little bit when she said that. Here's why. Here's why. You guys ready for this? We're going to lift the veil here. Dr. Caldwell, while doing this interview with us, is hiding in a closet with a very nice microphone. And there are three children somewhere in her house right now.
They're doing a preschool co-op preschool at her dining room table as we speak.
I just felt you. I just felt you right there. And I'll let you continue, but I felt you.
Yes, as I speak from my closet, we are all under a lot of stress. And so any couple that's already has a stress point, it's going to feel worse right now during COVID under the additional stress that we're under, right? But then add to that, that COVID has some particular pieces to it that make ADHD and ADHD in a couple that much worse too. So it's not just like if you're anxious or depressed and you're in COVID, it's that much worse because, you know, there's more stress and more things to be anxious about. With ADHD, I think there are some specific things about COVID that actually make it even worse than just the added stress, which is that one is that we're in our houses together, right? And so if you have, particularly if you have a couple where one person has ADHD and the other one doesn't, now those differences that only existed in your home life before now also exist in your work life, right? So work style is often different between ADHDers and non-ADHDers. Space, organization, just the amount of time that people have to create a mess, let's just say, we have more time to do that in our houses right now than we did before. We also have more time to get on each other's nerves with our differences, which is where we tend to get on each other's nerves, right? Is anytime there's a difference, we kind of grate on each other. So having more time and being in the same space for more time is creating additional stress.
That applies to a lot of people out there. It doesn't apply as much to us because we're in each other's business all the time anyway.
We have been for years.
We live and we work together. Let me tell you what has really affected me the most during COVID, and this is just subjective, but I wonder if it's similar for other people. I am an ADHD extrovert, and I bet you there's a lot of those, right? And the which means I get energy from where?
Other people.
From other people.
And who can't you see? Other people.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's hard.
Are you seeing some of that as well?
Yeah, I definitely see a lot of that. And I also see the loss of routine and structure and accountability that comes from COVID, right? That like when we don't go to a place to do a thing, when we don't have somebody around us knowing that we're doing the thing, that is extra hard for ADHD too, because ADHD doesn't, while it fights against structure, is what makes it feel safe and good and like it's able to move forward. Having that taken away and having to create it yourself can be really, really hard with an ADHD brain.
So I think I interrupted you, which is not surprising, about answering how non-ADHD partners can best support their ADHD partners. You talked initially about like, let's develop a pattern. Let's kind of get to the root of this in a, you know, in a way that doesn't cause them to go on the attack. What else can I be doing to help support Penn right now?
So one thing is letting go of perfectionism, right? That I think oftentimes when we get into a pattern with our partners of kind of taking over and doing too much, you know, that's a very typical ADHD relationship pattern, that one person kind of does a lot and the other person does less of certain things. Of course, you know, that's not true in every category. And part of that can happen because the non-ADHDer can have certain ways that they like to have things done. That when we are able to kind of let go of the perfectionism about when or how they are done, we allow our partners to step in, which then makes them feel better too, because it never feels good to be the one who's doing less. So that's one way, is allowing somebody to kind of take over and do it in their own way. I also really think that it's really important to stay grateful, right? To appreciate our partners for what they bring to our lives. That Kim, I think you're probably this way too, you know, who don't have ADHD and are detail oriented. You know, we may be doing a lot of these things, right? Mm-hmm. But what the ADHD partner brings is, in addition to other things, but also a big part is the love and the fun and the energy and the enthusiasm. And that, you know, is harder to categorize and harder to kind of put words to, but it's still very real. And if we're honest, a big part of what, you know, brought us to them. So staying grateful, staying appreciative. I do with my husband something every night that I recommend my clients do all the time, which is we have an evening routine before we go to bed where we both say kind of one or two things that we're really grateful or appreciative about the other one for from the day.
That's super smart.
Yeah, I love it because it's like a nice way to go to bed, right? It's just this nice connection before you go to sleep. But it also, it makes you more aware during the day too, because you're kind of like, what's my thing?
Yeah.
What's the thing that I'm going
to notice? Oh, it's like a homework assignment. Yeah, you've got to find something.
Yeah.
And so it tunes your brain to be grateful throughout the day. You know, we're so easily tuned to the things that annoy us and the things that went wrong. And so when we tune our brain to be grateful, we're able to kind of tap into that.
I love that advice.
You know, and I'm going to give you some credit. And this is like, I'm jumping the gun. This is something I could say tonight before we go to bed because we never do this, but we're going to start doing it now. I've noticed that you've been good about being grateful to me. Not so much, I don't know that you like always say, hey, I'm grateful for all the positive energy you bring. I know that you're grateful for that. Mm-hmm. But like all, so Doc, I will say, hey, I just lock the doors in the house, like I'll say, which is like not something that
it's like the bare minimum of what you should do. Yeah.
And what Kim could say there is, what do you want to freaking meddle? And instead, I think she's realized over the time that we've been together that that is a thing that I'm not just trying to get credit for. It's something that I suck at just because of who I am. And so you swallow your pride and say, thank you, honey, with no hidden agenda. You actually, instead of saying, what do you want to freaking meddle? You say thank you. So thank I'm grateful for that part of you and like understanding that something that is super easy to you comes hard to me and you give me credit for it.
Well, I think we're both very, very self-aware. And I know I'm not nearly as fun as Penn. Like there's so much laughter in our house and 99.999% of it is because of something Penn has done, said, instigated. So I know that my life would be super boring without him. I know that our dinner table would not be as much fun without him. So I'm so grateful for those things. So it sounds like I spent the entire podcast complaining about how you don't tuck the chair in, but I am very, I would still marry you again.
Well, good.
So, but I think what you're supposed to ask next then, Penn, is how you can be a good partner to a non-ADHD person. So I'll let you ask that question there, Penn.
I don't think I have to.
So
you were on such a roll there. You're being very selfless. And now here we are.
Here we are.
I'm sorry, Doc, how do I make it easier on my wife?
You know, I think Kim is probably letting you know the things that are getting in her way.
I hope so. That's honestly like I feel like if she's telling me, it's not that big a deal. If she's not telling me, that's where we're screwed. Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly. So then it's really a matter of you guys teaming up and Penn, you looking at what the things are that get in your way from doing that, whatever it is that she needs of you to do. Right. So the thing about ADHD brains is that it's not a disorder of knowing what to do. ADHD brains know what to do. It's a disorder of doing what you know. And so we have to kind of break down what are the obstacles between you and doing what you know, and how do we get around those obstacles? How do we put in structures to help you do that? So for example, with the pushing in the chair, right? We talked about having a alarm or a schedule where you go around and you push all the chairs up in. That's an external structure that then cues you to do the behavior that you need to add in. And so figuring out those things for whatever it is that Kim is needing from you is really where your work comes in.
Gotcha.
Okay.
No, I'm honestly like, I already feel like I'm in a better spot now that you explained a little bit of this to me. Mm-hmm. I always think of three things that I kind of take away mm-hmm. from an interview. The three things that I will never forget. Number one, explaining this to people like it's an on-off switch and not a fader.
Yeah.
I think that's perfect. Mm-hmm. Explaining that your brain is trying to attach itself to the next thing when you're 60% into something or 65% into something. That could not be more true. And I love the gratitude at the end of the day. And here's the thing, okay? If I know that's coming, I like my love language is words of affirmation and also the physical touch. So, one of those things, words of and you like acts of service.
Yes.
Right. So if I know that it's coming at the end of the day, like a treat, like a golden mm-hmm. retriever waiting for a treat. Now that I know that we could do that, I'm going to make more of an effort.
Yeah.
Because of positive reinforcement.
Yeah.
So really for me, it's more like I'm a dog.
You're like a preschooler with a reward chart. Like you went pee pee in the potty and you got an M&M.
That's giving me too much credit. I think it's more like a dog. And I'm the biggest dog fan in the world, so I'll take it.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. We should all be so lucky to be compared to dogs. Are there, in terms of parenting, I know you work with adults, but mm-hmm. do you typically see that children are we born this way? Do they adopt the habits of the ADHD? Because I could definitely see my son, although he's mm-hmm. great in school. Like there's no need to medicate him or anything like at this point because he's killing it in school. But
he's got it.
Oh my!
Sorry
for the love. Like what was something mm-hmm. he did yesterday that was so funny? Well, like he got the cup. Oh, he stood up from the dinner table to go get a glass of water. He went to the cupboard. He got a glass. He came back to the table with an empty glass with no water in it because he forgot to get the water.
I mean, that's a funny one. Like one that we don't find funny anymore is that we have to ask him four times every morning to put on his shoes. He has all these. This is crazy. Okay. He has all these things that there's no way he got them from me, like watching what I do, but he got them from my DNA.
I know.
I used to chew on my shirts.
Like a tick. Yeah.
No, like cotton shirts. I would chew on them and would have like a ring around my shirt.
He does the same thing.
And I'm like, I look over at Ben Charles and I'm like, oh my God, we're the only two people I know who do that. So I doubt that's even an ADHD sign, but like I had trouble getting my shoes on. I was super smart in school. I would like rush through my homework and make a couple of careless mistakes and that would be how I got knocked. Like he is right down the middle genetic wise with me. So
we just did a lot of talking and we haven't let her like chime in.
No, I just wanted to know. I want you to hear about me. Sorry.
No, I you're right. So ADHD is a genetic disorder. It's a neurobiological and neurodevelopmental disorder.
But it's not a disorder. It's a difference. It's an executive function reordering difference, which by the way, you know what I realized? If you said it out loud, it's effort.
Effort.
Which is kind of what effort. You want from me. You want more effort.
Okay.
You would like more effort in putting the chairs in.
Yes. Okay.
I've been ignoring you this entire time and trying to come up with that joke.
Okay. Anyway.
Which is what ADHD people do. Sorry, go ahead.
So that Penn Charles would have ADHD is highly likely, honestly. Mm-hmm. And there are certain things about ADHD that would, you know, the chewing on the shirt actually makes me think of the fact that ADHD brains are more sensitive to all types of sensory input. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if there's something about the chewing on the shirt that is a way of mediating some of the onslaught of sensory input, that there's something that he might be doing there that is trying to kind of balance out his system.
Like playing video games or watching TV?
Yeah, what happens is that ADHD brains don't have a filter for information coming in. So neurotypical brains can walk around in the world and tune out a whole bunch of things that aren't important in what it's doing. ADHD brains don't tune out all that extra stuff. They don't filter it out. And so it just is constantly being bombarded by extra things. So a lot of people with ADHD have a hard time with tags in their shirts. Mm-hmm. They have a hard time with really loud noises. My husband hates my dog's bark. He doesn't bark that often, but when he does, it's kind of a loud, shrill bark. And my husband like will will cover his ears and cringe and kind of like run away. Mm-hmm. Because loud noises just are totally take over the system and will flood the system completely. Mm-hmm. So you'll see those similarities, and the genetic loading is very present. And so you often will have parents with ADHD who have kids with ADHD. And there's some interesting dynamics that happen with parents and kids with ADHD in terms of it's actually, it can be very beneficial. Kids with ADHD can have actually better outcomes when their parents have ADHD because there's an understanding there. Mm.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I know it displays differently in girls and boys. And again, mm-hmm. I know you don't work with kids, but our daughter is so sensitive to noise that we were mm-hmm. on a boat recently, like the horn, and it was like a horn, and yep. she, any loud noise, to the point where when they have those, like those fire drills, shooter drills, like all of those things in school, not this year, but like they would call me because, and they would say, hey, it's going to happen at some point today. Because if they didn't, Lola, like the noise of it would shoot, her system would just mm-hmm. flood. And it was like, there's no getting yep. her to, which is not ideal.
I think my ADD is so strong that I have been able to impart it in both of my children.
You're so strong.
And again, you've heard me say this before. I'll say it again. I think it's a good thing. I don't care what anybody else says. I think it's a good thing in the long run.
Yeah, no, Hunter, ADHD adults are infinitely more interesting than, for example, me. So I'm here for it. Yeah. Now, you have an online course. Now, has it launched or is it, it's launching? Tell me about it.
We are launching in April, and it is for adults with ADHD who are looking for strategies and solutions for managing the emotional overwhelm that often comes with ADHD. Because just like ADHD brains have a hard time filtering out stimulation, it also sometimes has a hard time filtering out emotions. And so people get really flooded and overwhelmed by the emotions that they're feeling.
Meltdown to Mastery, Building Resilience and Overcoming ADHD Emotional Overwhelm. I feel like I need this. And you can learn more by going to adept.org. That's ADDEPT.org. Did I say adept right? It was it. Or was
yep,
it? Yeah.
Perfect.
Okay. Dr. Caldwell, thank you so much. I've learned a lot, and I shouldn't be surprised. You're a very smart person, but I've learned so much about my husband's brain. I think the on-off switch, because my fader board, my like soundboard is every single switch is at in the middle, because mm-hmm. I can do so many things at once.
Except when it comes to anxiety.
Correct.
And then you're an on-off switch.
And then the entire board's off. Yeah.
But that's a whole other episode.
That's another episode for another day. But thank you for sharing this with us. And where can people find you online?
When you're not in your closet.
When you're not in your closet.
When I'm not in my closet, I'm on adept.org, which is a blog and digital resource. Then you can also just find me on drmarcycaldwell.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me, guys.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.